It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Brennan? What the fuck is wrong with him?
He was in it today,
man.
Are
you constipated? God damn.
What you do, man? You got to get into it sometimes. Anyways, welcome to another episode of Animation. Squad is back on Zoom, which I do not like. I'll be honest with you. I don't like when we have to go on Zoom. But it is what it is. Things are being done, and we gotta get it done. We want to get this out there for y'all, man. You know what we do in Animation?
That's right.
We review things. We have one-off. We have debates. That's what we do on this podcast, man. And I love it, man. So go ahead and get your shit off, Ice.
We make it work. It don't matter if it's Zoom, Boom, Raccoon. It don't give a fuck. We make it happen, and we always deliver y'all, man. Because this is the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
Okay, all that extra shit at the beginning was terrible, but
I was about to trademark Zoom Boom Raccoon. Like,
that's terrible.
What is he doing? Is he building this up right? Oh, this is trash. Okay, cool.
I give that a 2,000.
I give it a 1.
That's great.
It's as bad as Gangsta.
It's almost as bad as that time that you wore a mask and tried to take it off and thought that was cool. It's almost as bad as that time. You still take the kick.
Anyways, yeah. He's trying. Alright, so we're gonna continue with Parasite Man. This is Ice's pick. Episodes 17 through 20. You wanna lead us off?
What you got? Yeah, I'll take you through these episodes. So we left off kind of on a cliffhanger last time. Ryoko was surrounded by three parasites that have gone rogue and decided to kill her without consent from the higher-ups, Goto, or the mayor that's leading them. And she leads them to this construction site for their fight. And what follows is a kind of nightmarish scene where she detaches the top of her head and attacks these parasites one by one, taking control of their bodies and making them just slaughter each other, laughing while she does so. And she also freaks out the hell out of a couple, like a human couple who happens to just be passing by, but otherwise just, you know, lets them live. After
that
Ryoko
so
returns
funny.
Home, she...
Sorry,
that was crazy. Yeah.
Her face would look crazy.
She lost it. But she returns home after a victory and finds her baby is gone and a note from the PI who broke into her apartment. And he says he wants to meet up with her in a park the next day. Elsewhere, Shinichi calls home looking for his dad, but it's actually Ryoko that answers, and she's clicking through pictures of his family. She says she's not there to attack him, but she says she wants to meet up with him at the same place as the PI, but just 20 minutes later, and she tells him, "I'm gonna have something to give you." Leaving, Ryoko runs into Murano, who doesn't recognize her for some reason. Murano asks if she can tell her anything about what's going on with Shinichi, but Ryoko just says, "Don't worry, he's a lot tougher than he looks." So still thinking about this later, Murano sees Shinichi on a passing bus and Ryoko walking through a crowd, and she chases after them and leads her to the same park for the meetup. Ryoko and the PI do meet up, and he gives her this whole speech about, you know, what a monster she is and these parasites and how she should feel the same pain he's feeling because of the loss of his family, and dangles her baby over like this drop off. And Ryoko,
Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah, blanket, just right over the ledge. But as he holds her baby over the long drop, Ryoko attacks, saving the baby and sending the PI over the edge. And elsewhere in the park, Miki feels strange brainwaves he's never felt before. Ryoko's love for her child, and she seems to be just as surprised. Meanwhile, Harama and the police arrive as the PI is bleeding out. And with his last words, he tells them about Ryoko, the baby, and Shinichi, but he only refers to him as his partner. The police try to get the name out of him, and he tells them that his partner is human, but doesn't end up giving him a name before he dies. And as the police spread out to look for Ryoko, she, Shinichi, and Miki meet, and while Murano sits nearby, unaware of this final confrontation going on. The next episode starts with Shinichi meeting up with her, and he's kind of expecting a fight at this point. But she explains that, you know, her research has told her that parasites and humans are really more alike than she thought. Two halves of the same whole. Still, she says that parasites will fight. Yeah. No.
She really part did of say this, that.
She really did say that. But she says that the parasites will fight back if they're backed into a corner, and warns him to stay away from Goto. He's too strong, maybe even invincible. Harama and the police arrive soon after, and there's kind of a standoff. Harama decides to trust Shinichi, but gambles that Ryoko's a monster and is just pops off a shot. Totally taking responsibility if he's wrong. But she spits the bullet back out, and the rest of the squad just unloads on her at this point. And she protects the baby under fire as she walks towards Shinichi. From her bench, Murano hears the gunfire and starts to run off, overwhelmed by it at first. But the spirit of, I think it's Shinichi's mom, stops her. And instead, she decides to run towards the commotion. Ryoko approaches Shinichi with his mom's face to show him that she doesn't mean to attack, to kind of explain this is about motherly love, and hands off the child to him, asks him to raise it, as he might be the only one who understands.
He's 15! It's ridiculous. Asking a teenager to raise a kid?
I agree. That's some stupid. That is some real, like, yo, I'm dying in front of you right now, and this kid had nothing to do with your life in any way whatsoever, outside of me using it as a human shield so that you don't attack me, because I'm a parasite that's killed multiple human beings and threatened your life, as well as made fun of how your mother died. And then impersonate her in front of you. So, yeah, you take care of this baby because I feel some kind of connection to it. Have fun.
But, so, Shinichi takes the baby, not really knowing what else to do, and seeing this child lose his mother and his mother's loving face one more time, he gets some closure, and he starts crying for the first time, just as Murano arrives, and she says that he's finally returned. The investigation continues. Harama's suspicious of Shinichi and just how he fits into this whole story, but it turns out they have a secret weapon of their own. This serial killer named Urigami, who can sense the difference between humans and parasites, and he acts like a total asshole as they give him this lineup of suspects to analyze, like even masturbating to some of the women that come by, because he's in prison. But when Shinichi shows up, that dude gets deadly serious immediately.
Rob, we can't just skip past that. This dude is the realest character this show has ever had. Like, in every moment, I'm like, I feel you. Almost every moment.
I knew Brendan would like him.
I knew
Mr. Me Too would like him.
You're Mr. Me Too having ass.
Hold on a second. Of course you do. My man's been in prison. I'm not saying I would do it, but I'm saying that, like, it's really funny and authentic.
You legit trying to
it
validate.
It was funny. He's like, yo, I'm in prison. And you put a beautiful woman in front of me? Like, I have an imagery I haven't had in maybe years.
But he was just jacking off his head.
He sees a threat. He runs. Like, he's just a reactionary human being. He talks shit to everybody around him at all times. He cares about nobody. He's just like, oh, y'all want me to do this? Fuck.
I see what you're saying, Brennan. He's the most realistic.
He's authentic to himself in every moment of this show. Like, in every moment, he's like, I don't give a shit about any of y'all. Like, this shit's somewhat interesting, but I'm in prison. Like, fuck y'all. Like, I'm not putting myself at risk for you. I'm not doing whatever. They haven't even defined what they're giving him for him to help. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just there.
True.
Like,
probably some better food at the commissary. I don't know that they have to give him too much. Like, it's not.
But all I'm saying is, just like, if that's all he's getting, then it's like, all right, well, you're getting half effort. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm getting the fuck up out of here, man.
Y'all want me in the front lines? Why am I walking in the front? Y'all don't need me in the front. I just need eyes. Like, every time he speaks, I'm like, this guy is coming from the heart. Like, please.
Well, I'll give him that. He's authentic to himself, but at the beginning of the episode, horrible human being.
That don't make him any less of a piece of shit.
He's definitely a piece of shit. And we see that at the beginning of episode 19, because we get a quick backstory, and he was literally a serial killer out on the loose. We actually saw this dude in episode 1, mid-murder, just like kind of out of context, and it's just kind of coming around now. And he basically, because he's such a monster, he kind of has a sense to like sense out other killers and monsters. People kind of like him. And he followed a parasite into their feeding ground and then ended up getting framed for the murder, which is how he wound up in police custody. But
which is some shitty detective work. Because they could have easily figured out he had nothing to do with
it. They must have at some point, because they got into this situation where they're like, all right, well, clearly you know what's up. The murder didn't match his MO, but we'll put it that way. Back in the present time, he settles that Shinichi is a human, but he thought he saw something inhuman for a moment in his eyes, but must have imagined it. Shinichi feels that he's being sized up, and he's just glad that Migi is asleep for all of this. He and his dad get released from custody. The Ryoko's baby will be kept and tested for now, it sounds like. Alone for a moment, Shinichi and Migi recap their feelings about Ryoko's odd behavior, which was unsettling to Migi, and the intimidating man that they just met in jail, who Shinichi senses was a killer. Hirama and the police are planning a raid against the parasites. Hirama wants to use Origami and says that, you know, the parasites are unpredictable. This guy can show us who is who, but there's another officer on the force, this guy named Yamagishi, and he says he's giving the parasites way too much credit. They have machines that can sense the parasites, and Origami is too much of a wild card. Meanwhile, back at the parasite HQ, the mayor and Goto are talking and realizing that the circle's kind of closing in on them. Parasites are disappearing. The mayor is no longer being trusted with intelligence from the anti-parasite league that they've made up. And at school, Shinichi is just trying to finish out the year strong. Things are kind of returning back to normal again. Mm-hmm. People don't even seem to think too much of his scar when they see it. They just sort of go like, oh, good, like, quit embarrassing the guy, you know. But Hirama does show up and ask them for his help with the investigation. And Murano loses it at this point, just saying, like, they deserve to be normal kids for once. We've been through a lot this year, like two school massacres. But, of course, Shinichi agrees to help. So they ask him about what weaknesses the parasites might have, and he tells them, flamethrowers could do the trick based on a conversation he had had with Migi, and thinks that might be their best attack against Goto at this point. The next day, the police launch their attack on City Hall. They set up their parasite detection system under the guise of an active shooter on the roof and try to keep the civilians calm. As they have them all grouped together, Shinichi and Origami are looking at video feed trying to pick out the parasites, but they're just too far away. Sensing danger, the mayor launches a plan to try and sneak out of this while crowds of people are being led in front of these sensors that can detect if people hold a parasite in their body. And a woman is the first to show evidence of a parasite. Her skull is totally missing when they scan it. The last episode starts off where the police try to quietly execute the parasites that they find, but it just turns into chaos. Very quickly, parasites start to bunch up together to throw out the sensors. Origami starts telling the police to shoot the wrong people, seemingly for fun. People start running as parasites attack, and the police are just gunning down anything that moves out of fear. It's a clusterfuck. And in the middle of the chaos, the mayor and his crew just kind of sneak away. Yamagishi tries to get a hold of the situation, telling everybody that if they want to live, they'll just stay still. And he even kills one human dude that stands up to prove his point, because after all, they're there to kill parasites, not protect humans, as he says. Yamagishi takes a couple squads upstairs to find the parasites that escaped and takes Origami with him. Meanwhile, the mayor tells Goto that charade is over. He can just go ham, like, do what you want, man. It's over now at this point. Yamagishi and his men make their way through the building, stepping over the dead bodies of the police, gunning down the parasites they come across and nearly killing a couple who decided this was a good time to bang. Shinichi, meanwhile, is still downstairs, wondering what the conflict with Goto will end up being like. And almost on cue, the SWAT team meets up with Goto, and he lures them into this larger room for a fight. And they just pump this dude full of bullets, but he spits him back out at the police at killing speeds, and they just get totally Swiss cheesed. Goto moves for his next kill as the police corner the mayor in a lecture hall, and he greets them as the episode ends. And we are now into the final stretch of Parasite, the Maxim.
The Mac Man.
Gang, gang, gang.
Yeah, it turned up. It turned up. So we're going to go to the question portion of the show. First question. Do you think the cops that we have now would have handled this situation than these guys? Because I personally don't. I don't know. Because I think these guys were damn near village idiots. But then I'll put it in the past. I feel like our cops would do something similar. They'll just be like, all right, man, if you think they're a parasite, they were shooting unarmed black people. You think it's a parasite, just pop them. And it's just like, you're going to see a lot of this innocent people getting murdered. And they could have handled this a lot better. I don't know how long they had this machine for, but they might have had it for a second. They probably kept it on the low or some shit. They should have been doing this or make it scans for work or like invisible. I don't know. But I think, I definitely think our cops would have handled it very similar, and but it would have been just as messy. What about you, Brennan?
I think it depends on which department you're talking about. I think one of the strengths...
LAPD. I'm talking about LAPD.
Like, honestly, I don't really know LAPD like that. But I was just going to give a general answer, if you don't mind. Like, it's just like,
yeah,
every
yeah,
police department is so different. Whether, you know, it's a local, state, or a federal, I think it just really depends on who's running that department. Like, that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I think there's some really smart officers and really smart detectives that some of them might have done it better. I think a lot of them might have messed it up. I could see it going either way. I just really think it comes down to whoever was in charge and how creative and how smooth they were, as well as how informed they were. Because we don't even know how informed these guys were. We just know they exist. You know, we don't know how much they know. We don't even know how they knew that building was full of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did they know that? Like, we don't know. So it's just like, they don't give us enough details for me to be able to say, yo, somebody could have done a better job.
Okay, Rob.
I'm leaning towards no, especially if it's LAPD. They don't necessarily have a good track record of handling themselves well under pressure.
Heard.
So I hear what Brennan's saying. I do think, like, you know, if you get like a top tier SWAT team, like from across the U.S., like piled together, maybe they can like, yeah, if this was like a some sort of sneaky operation, they could have got the drop on them or something. Maybe they could have made it quiet. But no, I generally don't. I thought this was a pretty realistic depiction of how things would go if something like that happened. I feel like, honestly, like police officers, there's definitely, you know, even if you get into the military with the National Guard, there's cases of people losing their cool and unloading on innocent and unarmed people. So I think if people get scared, you know, there's only so much training can do. And I think in this situation, if this happened in real life, you definitely have some human deaths. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way if you're just afraid of somebody that's a regular person, that if this thing head opens up, you're not going to freak out and just start unloading and at the scene that want to unload. Go ahead, Ice.
Nah, them niggas trash, bro. They're not handling any better. If anything, it'd be worse than how they handle it. I mean, so more specifically LAPD, to like Rob's point, like they have a track record of being trash, and I don't think that's changing anytime soon. And that's across the globe. I can't say no specific state or no specific division of the cops is going to handle that poorly. I mean, defund the police isn't just said for no reason. Like, and it's not defund LAPD, it's defund all the police across the board because they handle shit poorly. And with the budget that they've been given. So no, not at all. I feel like even the only facet of any type of system that would even have a chance is maybe a portion of the military that's trained. And I feel like America, it might be a conspiracy theory, but like there, in this day and age, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a division that's trained on shit like this. Mm-hmm. Like, if a fucking thing head open up, you need to go like this, this, and this, and we don't know about them. But like, that'd probably be the only group out of anybody, FBI, CIA, military, and Secret Service, all that, that would be able to handle that. And probably then they would still
I feel like we know there's aliens. Well, there's portions of the government that knows there's aliens, and they probably had to deal with them. So I feel like they would.
You know, they admitted that recently. You know that, right?
Yeah. I saw like they did admit that. So I feel like that particular unit might be able to be like, all right, they might not have the same type of fear as anybody else, but yeah.
Yeah, was it Star Corps from Resident Evil, the like Star Division or whatever?
Yeah. They just bring in random aliens, like, hey, this is an alien, this is how you handle it. Like,
yeah.
They'd be the only ones well equipped.
All right, next question. So we saw her give her baby up to Sinichi and be like, yo, raise this thing by yourself. If you're Sinichi after all that happened with her and like all the shit that she's done as a cold asshole, do you feel obligated to take her request and take care of her child, Rob?
This is tough because if you're going off just basically his relationship with Ryoko and what she's done and what she's been to him in his life. The fact that she even was just like, I killed 38 people, like up to this point, I'm thinking no. But on the flip side of that, like if you're thinking about just the kid, like this, the only person in the world that might understand and be able to tell like this kid, like, no, it's actually not, Ryoko is not your mom. Like you have the genetics of the two people that these parasites took over. Like, that kid is technically blameless. So Personally, still with all that, no, probably not.
The left turn by Rob.
Rob is famous for left turns, man.
I feel you, dude. I got to see how the kid's going to – I got to see the kid – if the kid's actually had Parasite or not. I got to see if that's going to end up happening or whatever the case may be. I don't know if the Parasite end up getting inside the baby when, you know, she end up taking over that person. But if not, that kid is like a normal human being. Fuck that shit, man. Put that nigga in the adoption system. I know that's terrible to say. That is horrible to put him in an adoption system. But you got to put him somewhere. I'm 15, bro. I don't even know how to take care of myself technically yet. So
unless I'm ice, I don't even know what sex really is yet.
Yeah, exactly. He ain't even smashing. So you want me? I'm gonna have a kid. He's technically the Virgin Mary in this bitch. Like that's who he is. He got a kid, and he ain't.
He tried to.
He did. So, he did try.
Yeah, he did.
He did try.
So yeah, that's my. Hey, I'm not taking care of that fucking kid. No way. Ice.
Hell no, I ain't taking care of that fucking kid.
You already got a kid.
Not
that's
at no
two.
15. Yeah, like that's, I don't care that. And then I bet that fucking Parasite child support is a motherfucker. No, like I'm not paying for no, I'm not doing that. And then and having all this stuff, like I don't want no resentment. I would say this, I would keep an eye on him though, because like those group homes or adoption places or anything, if they turn up and end up being a parasite and they don't know how to control that at a young age, they're slaughtering that whole group home.
Yeah.
They're slaughtering that whole orphanage, whatever. They're killing everybody. So I would at least keep an eye on it and be like, all right, what you doing? You good? Okay. Like, I'd be there checking in every now and again, but as far as taking care of them, fuck no.
Brennan?
No. I mean, same as Ice. Same as Rob. Like, 15 years old, man. I'm still over here trying to pass my algebra class. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my biggest concern at 15. It's like, this teacher hates me. You know? <Yeah. laughs> These teachers hate me and these girls don't think I'm attractive. Like, those are the problems that a 15-year-old should have. So I think what I said is, like, keeping a watchful eye.
Sure.
And, you know, that's pretty much as far as I take it. I just be like, I keep an eye around. Every once in a while, I'm just checking, like, you good? All right, cool, cool, cool. And if you're not good, I'm like, all right, let me...
You good?
Let me see who else can help you. I'll provide you with more resources from someone else because I'm still a child myself.
Yeah. It's tough because it's like you want to run tests on them, but then it's like if you say with that baby came from like that, you're like, oh shit, they might keep this person in the lab for life and just dissect them here. And so I wouldn't... It's just a tough feat, I guess. Next question. So, you know, we had Brennan's favorite character, Mr. Jackoff over here.
Mr. Jackoff.
He's a psychic and other psychics that were in there. Do you believe in psychic powers, like the ability to read somebody's aura, Brennan?
You know, that's a really... I pose this question because it's a really complex subject to me. I have a twin brother who's a hippie. You know, and I when I say hippie, it's just like he literally looks like an anime character walking around every day, mm-hmm. doesn't eat meat, mm-hmm. you know. Straight up. Like he literally has a head tattoo. He and his wife are like got all the crystals in the world and, you know, they have the singing bowls and all that. And I've actually had to go and film with some guys that were that believed that they had the powers of shamanistic powers. I'll say this. They had a weird vibe. Like they had a different vibe, not a weird vibe, a very different vibe. Kind of person that you're just around that just calms you down just for being around them. Mm. But all I have to say is I've never seen any direct evidence. I know that they've actually been able to physically detect a human aura as like an electromagnetic magnetic field, as well as some other things that are literally around us. So we do have technically an aura, just because we are alive, as most things would have something that you would call an aura. I personally think that I think I'm really good at meeting somebody and sizing them up. And some of it could be intuition, which goes into the line of this, but I think a lot of it is that I'm extremely observational and I love people. And so like when I meet somebody, I can just like, all right, cool. Like I saw you do this with your lip. I saw this with your hand. You're standing like this. You're breathing like that. Your eyes are over here. You're probably thinking something along these lines because I've seen all of these things in different people. I take all that, those categories of different people I've had with those same exact interactions, put it into a person and say, here's what I think you might be.
How accurate have you been in that, Brennan? Like what you thought they were and what they turned out to be?
Over 80%. Definitely not 100%. But accurate enough that I
Have you been accurate with us three?
Everybody but you.
That's that's 66%. That's 2 out of 3.
Right. No, Ice, the thing is, I didn't have it. The only reason I say that I wasn't accurate, Ice, is I just didn't have a good read on you. You know, I didn't have any, like, I had one-on-one time with Keenan. I had one-on-one time with Rob, you know, and, you know, with you, it's just like you were always around in a group and I never paid direct attention to you. So I never really built that character for you until we were already working together. And then it's just, you just were what you were. So that's the only reason I say not you, simply because I just didn't, it didn't happen for us.
Ice.
I think that shit is bullshit. First, like, I don't believe in that shit. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, I'm a psychic. All that psychic shit, or I get vibes. I feel like if you vibe with people better, but I don't think that's something that you can see. It's through conversation. It's like, hey, I'm cool with you. Like the love at first sight thing. I think that's bullshit. Like, but you can vibe with somebody and be like, okay, this is cool. You're like, you're a positive person. You're up my alley. Like some comedians I don't rock with versus other comedians just because how they go about things. If you have a vibe about you, like y'all niggas need to kiss the ground that I walk on and I'm the best thing to ever happen to comedy and I don't treat people the wrong way. It's like, I'm not going to fuck with you just because how you act. But I'm not, you know, and which happens a lot, not only necessarily just with comedians, but just in LA in general. But there's other people that have a good vibe to them and, you know, like Keenan and I referenced this girl, this lady, young lady that always vibes with everybody to the point that you think that she like you. She don't fucking like you, like to that, like intimately, but the way that she interacts with you and the way that she talks to you, you be like, damn, like, you know, she the one, but it's not the case. So I think you can vibe with people how they interact, but like sensing auras, telepathy, all that like psychic shit, I think that shit is a joke. And I would never spend money on any of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't really believe in that stuff either. I don't really subscribe to the crystal stuff. I've gone to a psychic, you know, I've had tarot cards read. I feel like a lot of that stuff is kind of the meaning you put into it. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that psychics do is like, I think they're good at reading people. And I think they're making good at making generalizations that a lot of people can be like, oh, shit, that's me. And I think it's more about what you apply to that situation. Cause you know, my fiance and I, we got a tarot card set. We've done some tarot card readings. I don't think it predicts the future, but if it makes you think about things and you're just like, oh shit, I never put these things together. Cause I'd never like, you know, had them even kind of put in that context. So I think it's more about the meaning you give it rather than somebody else seeing into the void and pulling something out of it. But that's just me.
Yeah. I mean,
because if somebody's like, you're going to a psychic and you're like, oh, somebody going to betray you. Like, that's just fucking life. Yeah. And then you can't have somebody betray you. Like, oh, the car is like, no, that somebody's going to play you at some point in your life. Like, that's just how it works.
Well, I think from Brandon's question, he's more saying like the aura and stuff like that. Because, I'm with y'all. I don't agree with the whole like, well, the death card means death and that means you're going to die. Well, I don't, that shit, no. But I do believe that. Energy is real. That's not nothing that I'm just trying to make up. People's energy never dies. So I believe that somebody can walk in and you can feel like, yeah, this thing don't feel right. Like if there's certain, it's like when somebody walks in to a certain area and all of a sudden it just starts to get like crazy, like or they just start fighting somebody. Like, I've seen that before. I've seen somebody walk in, like, hey man, hey, get away from this dude, dog. His energy don't seem right. All of a sudden he just starts swinging on people. So it's like, I think you can definitely sense energy in that sense. Or if you want to even say, call it aura or whatever like that. But to the extent of, yeah, like, you know, Miss Cleo and shit from back in the day, for our punk asses in jail and shit.
So I can sit there and say
I believe it in that way. Like, yeah, he could do this. But like, I can look at somebody and be like, I feel like I'm like Brennan. I'm like around 80% at looking at somebody, sizing them up, even before they even say anything. And then being like, this is somebody I can be cool with long term. This is somebody that like I can say what's up to and then I can just keep it pushing. Hmm. So
have you been accurate with us three, Keenan?
So that was bad because you broke up so many times, so we didn't hear what you said. So,
I think you did. I think you did a Miss Cleo impression, and it was hilarious.
That's right.
Call me now for your free reading. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, right. See. your shit came out so much. I'm sorry. I knew he has up frozen. There, but it just didn't
frozen go. Ice. Look at him; he's just frozen. Moving.
No,
he's
I wasn't
right
now. I asked.
All right, his question was next, but if he's still frozen, is he still frozen? You still frozen, Ice?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he is.
No.
Yep. He's still frozen.
Well, he said, have I been accurate with y'all three?
Y'all hear me?
Is that what you said?
It sounded like what he said.
I'm going to assume that's what he said. I just answered that real quick before we move on to the next question. I mean, yeah. I've been fairly accurate.
As soon as you Hello. Say I asked, it cuts out. Hello, are you there? We're having technical difficulties right, live on the recording.
Me, right? Yeah.
No, the best part is we can record our audio separately. So this is going to be really interesting because Ice is going to be talking. We're going to be able to fully hear my man's voice, but we're not going to respond to it because we didn't hear him.
Yeah, we didn't know what you said.
Go ahead, Keenan.
All right.
You know, I'm just going to look like some assholes.
Like I said, Keenan.
All right, yeah, I feel like his name's delayed or something like that. That's probably what it is. So, yes, yeah, so he doesn't understand that it's frozen. So he's like, it's so funny that he's probably upset right now. And it's being like, man, they're just staring at me, man. It's ridiculous. And it's like, nigga, you got to realize you're on LTE, not even on 5G right now. You're on like regular LTE. And it's probably not going through. But I'm trying to figure out, because I actually had his question lined up next. So I just go to another question.
Is he there? Ice, you here? Nope. All right, just being hopeful.
Yeah, I've been here.
So this is just a fun question. Sinish was out here running track, getting it in. If you had his powers, if you had to choose one sport to play, only one sport to play, with his newfound skills and speed and whatever it is, what sport would you play? Damn. I guess I would play the one that pays me the most money, which I think, well, shit, now it's football, isn't it? Because Pat Mahomes just got $500 million. Yeah. So it might have to be, now it's football. I was going to say baseball, but if that's what it is, I don't know if it helps out his accuracy, but he would have a deadly ass arm, no pun intended. And he was just dropping fucking 90 yards. I just tell him, run a go route 90 yards. Bam, that's just out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I would personally play football, and I'll be like Lamar Jackson. I'm sitting there with that speed. I'm running through you. I'm running over people. I want to hit somebody so hard I might actually knock them out of a limb, like knock one of their arms off. That'd be super dope. What about you, Rob? What sport would you play?
Personally, I probably play basketball just because I think it's the one I would have the most fun playing. Like I, and we got to see a little bit, you know, earlier in the series. You know, he's got a shot. You know, maybe he's helping him out.
Yeah, a little jumper.
I think that'd be fun. And you know, I played a little bit of football. I did not have a good time. So personally, I would probably stay away from that. Baseball would be cool. And you know, from his fight with Hide, he can throw that fucking thing. He wouldn't need the cutoff man. Like he's throwing right from, you know, left field to the home plate. But personally, I'm playing basketball. That would be my pick.
Brennan?
You know, it's funny. Like, I was thinking football until Rob said, what's the most fun that I would have playing something? And I was breathing basketball at one point in my life. And it was one of the most amazing feelings in the world is when you're in the zone playing basketball. There's nothing like that. So I'm going to have to default back to basketball. So I'll be the next Allen Iverson. You know what I'm saying? It's just like,
yeah, you got to keep your size. You got to keep your height.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nate Robinson, whatever. Like, yeah. I'm out here to do the work.
You're more like Earl Boykins.
Ouch.
Look at you.
Yeah,
ouch. That's fucked up.
First of all, Earl Boykins had a nice career, and he could bench press 300 pounds. So, I mean, that's respect, to be honest, bro. Nate Robinson
won the dunk contest, and did he win a championship with the Celtics?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm saying because Nate Robinson is my height. I was giving you more of a 5'6", 5'5". So I was saying,
I'm 5'7", but you know, we out here.
I said, did you hear the question, or were you still locked away in frozen land? Okay, go ahead.
No, yeah, I heard it. I would. I mean, shit, with the money that's given to football and baseball players right now, I would probably do one of those two sports.
You only choose one.
If I'm balling like that, one. I'm trying to. Yeah, I'm gonna do football because I love football and I played football and. I'm definitely getting, I'm gonna be a quarterback, and I'm definitely gonna get Patrick Mahomes money. but I ain't gonna sign no 10-year deal for that. But I'm gonna get a dumb amount of money because I'm gonna be putting up Madden numbers. I'm gonna be putting up Madden numbers. It's like, do I want to get a throwing touchdown or do I want to run it in? Like, it's whatever. Like,
going to the scramble.
That's Lamar Jackson right now. I think people will come out with Pat Mahomes. I think Lamar Jackson is about to break that record once it comes. All right. So next question. Since I back, I had your question loaded up. What would you do if you saw Ryoko running half headless on your date? What would you do? What would you do in that situation, Ice? And you're on a date.
I'm definitely not what the fuck they did. I think they was giving homegirl with the paint thinner a run for her money about the dumbest shit you can do in a situation like that. And it's like they wanted, I guess it's an ongoing competition because they was like, oh, let's go check it out. Like the old horror troupe, let's go check it out. Like these bitches running, either one of those, even a perfectly formed person with a maniacal laugh running past my date and I,
no way,
like, and you have your head on it and you're just maniacally laughing, no Bluetooth, no headphones, no AirPods, no nothing, you're just walking maniacally laughing. Fuck that, we're not checking shit out. I'll be like, that bitch is crazy, especially in LA. Oh, you know, like, something is wrong, we're not checking that shit out, let alone you add on top of that half your head gone and you just got this big ass face on you. No, we're not checking shit out. I'm taking you and we're going home. Like, and it's going to be like that one of them, damn, we had too much to drink situations, because I'm not going to figure that shit out.
I'm with Ice and Dad. That's why I love being sober, because now I ain't going to question myself. Like, am I high? What did I see? I'm going to know what the fuck I saw. And I know for a fact.
Like, that was that.
Even if this
you don't
girl
have to
was
believe
like,
me.
If this girl was like, hey, Keaton, let's go check it out. But like, you know what? You're not for me. For you to say some dumb shit like that, you can go by yourself. But the goal would be to get us both the hell up out of there. Because, that laugh, just the laugh alone, I would have been like, nah, I'm good. I would have freaked out. Ready?
I'm actually on the opposite spectrum, Keenan.
What?
Yeah, I'm on the opposite spectrum of how I would deal with it. Because for me, you're just like, I know what I saw, blah, blah, blah. She'd be like, damn, what was that? We should go check it out. I'd be like, what are you talking about? I didn't see shit. There's been many times in my life where I'm just like, what I just saw is not going to benefit any human being or humanity in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to keep it moving. I'm never going to speak of this again. It truly did not happen to me. And this will be one of those situations. She runs by, the date's like, wait, what was that? I'm like, what was what? And she's like, you didn't see that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right. No.
Can you give
us
one of those
times? I guess you didn't understand
times?
What I was saying. When I said that I will never speak of.
I get it.
I will never.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I've had those situations before. It's kind of like, you just be like, man, this shit, I'm just going to pretty much block this shit either from my memory or just, I'm just going to never bring this shit up. You know, even though it's here, I'll never
bring
it up.
It's never going to get brought up. Never.
Yep. Rob?
I mean, this is, I think, another question that we're all going to be in agreement on. Yeah, I'm not doing anything. Like, even if the date is like, oh, we should go check on her, see if she's okay. I'm like, I don't need to see any more to know that she's not okay. And far beyond the help that we can give her. Like, she's on some other shit. So I'm going to see if Lyft is available in this area. And I'm going to, you know, cut the walk home a little short. Like, listen, I'll just pay for the Lyft. Like, this is on me. Like, we can go. I'll take you back to your place or we can go back to mine or something like that.
It's so
like,
funny. I had this thing I want to show you on the other side of town. Right. Anyway, that's crazy.
Yeah, just anywhere but here. I'm definitely not going to check on her. If I see her split her head open, I'm grabbing the girl's arm and we're getting the fuck out of there. I'm not.
Are you
falling.
Still?
Like,
are you still trying to make a move later that night?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anybody comes out of that situation looking good. You're just like, clearly, I might not even call that date ever again because you see, like, I'm not.
I mean, I think it depends how y'all handle it. Like, you stay with her. You're like, yo, we seen some real shit together, babe. You know what I'm saying? This is some crazy stuff. We belong together, clearly.
Clearly. We survived that.
Or I might be like, damn, are all y'all like that? And y'all just been holding out on us? Like, is that a woman thing that y'all can fucking do? Like,
oh my God.
Because if that's the case, shit.
Mm. All right, so let's go to the next question. We're going to go a little, I guess, dark and sad here. This question. What was your first experience with death?
Brennan?
No, so I knew that this was going to be dark and sad, and I did ask this question on purpose. The thing is, like, when you think of your first experience with death, like, you can say me killing ants in the front yard, you know what I'm saying, and seeing that they don't move anymore. That could be your first experience of death. For me, though, it is a person, but it's not so emotional for me. It's just that I remember it because it was somebody who I didn't know very well, and I was too young to really comprehend what was going on. But I remember it was my Uncle Earl. He's like my mom's uncle, so my great uncle. And I just remember being like, we had to travel in a car for a long time to go see all of our family members, and everybody was wearing black and was sad. And I remember going to the they were like, let's go to the funeral home. And every instinct in my body was like, do not go in that space. Like, do not go in there. I was like 7 or 8, and it was like the smell came out of the door, and I was just like, I'm done. Like, I threw, like, it's the only time I can even remember in my life where I threw a full on, like, I'm laying on the ground and crying, you're not getting me into that space tantrum. Like,
how were you?
I was like 7 or 8.
Okay. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was just like, they were like, well, you're going to just sit in the car. And I was just like, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. I smelled, because I have a really strong sense of smell. Like, if you spend time around me, you'll know. It's just like, if something has a scent to it, I'm probably going to pick it up. Unfortunately, it's the worst.
Tanjiro shit. Is.
What'd you say?
Yeah. I said that Tanjiro shit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why Tanjiro's one of my favorite protagonists. But it is not the greatest superpower in the world. I'll tell you that right now. It's trash.
I believe it.
It is the worst superpower. Yeah. But even still, like, I trust my nose, and I was just like, not going in there. And I remember it, and I was just like, if this is what death is, I don't want nothing to do with it. Was my first experience with it.
Rob?
My first experiences of death weren't necessarily emotional either, actually. I'll tell you one I know I was there for, but I don't really remember. I was, like, super young, like, maybe 3 or 4. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but my dad was in like a softball league, and a dude got a hit, like was running to first base, had heart cardiac arrest, and basically dropped dead like on the field.
Fuck.
I was there for that. I don't remember it, I'm sure my parents were just sort of like, don't pay attention to that. Like, we're going to go do something else. The first time I remember, kind of dealing with death was actually my great grandma passed away on my mom's side. She was 100. She was like literally 100 years old. I remember we went to her 100th birthday, and then she passed away soon after that. And I remember when that call came in and my mom finding out about that. You know, that was really sad because it was her grandmother. But I remember that, I think, was the first funeral I ever went to as well. Yeah. And I remember at that funeral home, they had like an N64 in the back, so like all the kids could like play Mario or whatever. And so we were just hanging out back there while most of the other stuff was going on. That was it for me.
Ice.
I think taking it literally in the sense of what Brennan is talking about, my first really experience with death is I saw like this baby bird fall out of the tree, and then like they were like dying. The little baby bird was dying, and I was just sitting there watching the bird. And it was like that moment in Get Out where Daniel Kugle's character is looking at that deer, like kind of suffering. It's like, I don't know. Do I like put you out of your misery, or like, what do I do? So I think that was really my first encounter with that. And it was just like, well, fuck. Like, and then I was like, I put it out as misery. And then I was like, well, like, I was struggling with that as talking to my mom, like, did I kill it? And she was like, no, like it was going to die anyway. Like, it was either that or get sun dried by, you know, burnt out by the sun and just sit there and suffer. So I was like, okay. But like, as a human being, like the first human being I witnessed die. I didn't witness him die, but funeral I attended is, one of my closest cousins, her boyfriend passed by, He was into motorcycles and stuff, and he was doing some stuff on the highway, and he got hit by an 18-wheeler, and it killed him. And I think at that moment I was like, fuck, well, I'm never riding a motorcycle. So until this very day, I haven't ridden, or I do not have the urge to ride a motorcycle. And I think it probably stems from that. But one thing and that I always saw about funerals is just like people, like he was really had an impact on a lot of people's lives, and people were like crying and passing out and just like they loved him so much. And same with my uncle when he died. And I thought, like, I know this is super fucked up, but like everybody when they died, they're like, I want everybody to be happy. I just want it to be a celebration. Like, no, like I need motherfuckers passed out crying on my casket. Like, I need that shit to be a fucking spectacle. Like, I need to know, like, I had an impact on somebody.
I need to know.
I need to know. I will know in the afterlife. Like, I need motherfuckers passed out crying. Everything. I need it all.
For me, I guess my first was, I guess technically, I was in New York visiting my cousins, and it was a cat. It was a cat. She has these kittens, and then I think one of the kittens tried to cross the street, didn't make it, and got hit by a car.
That's too bad.
And then you saw, like, the cat, of course, like, the mama cat or whatever, was just, like, you saw him weep. Like, they knew. It was weeping, like, it was crazy, like, kind of like a person. Like, the sound it made was just, like, it was crazy. And it was trying to, like, grab it, too, you know, trying to, like, hold it. Ugh. And it was just, like, when I saw that, I was just like, okay, this is not just a human thing. Like, motherfuckers, like, animals. I think we had a question about this last time about just, how can other animals feel the same way we feel about certain things like that? And when it comes to, altruism or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, when it comes to death, I think other animals know. If you're speaking on a person tip, it was my grandfather. And it was like, we knew he was passing away because, you know, he had cancer. But then when he finally died and we got out there and you saw, you know, they was like, all right, you get to come view the body real quick. I was fine. And then I got there and I viewed the body and I was just like, and I broke. And I didn't know. It's just, when you see somebody like that, it's surreal. And it's like, this doesn't even look fully like the person that I knew. You know what I'm saying? It looked completely different, you know.
And the color gone.
Just a crazy, it's a crazy thing. So let's try to switch gears out of this depressing ass topic.
Man, lighten it up. Damn, Brennan.
Brennan, you wrote the fucking most in there. Damn, man. I don't know how we got here, bro. Damn, like,
dickhead.
Y'all just depressing. You know, dickhead. Mine wasn't that depressing.
No, fuck it. You knew it. He was like, hey, let me change the room real quick. All right, so...
What a dickhead.
If you had to clear out a building full of parasites, man, who are you taking on your three-person strike team? Using the characters from other anime. Rob, who are you choosing? Three.
So, I had some time to think about this. Obviously, it's my question. I think some things we'll agree with. There are some honorable mentions. We don't have to get into those. But I'm thinking the final three that I'm taking... Number one, we just heard from Shinichi. Fire is a big thing. I'm taking Colonel Mustang.
Woo,
he's got to come. He's got to come. I'm thinking, based on even just what we saw from season one and how he showed up at the end and took care of some of those spider demons in the forest, we got to go with Tamioka, the water Hashira from Demon Slayer. He's a killer and will certainly decapitate anybody he needs to. And he's got the speed to match the parasites, I think. Number three, I'm just going, you know, if I'm thinking about team dynamics, we got like a magic guy. We got like a sword guy. We need like a big bruiser dude. I'm going with Thorkell from Vinland Saga because, you know, that dude's not afraid to take a hit either. He's not going to be fazed by anything he sees in this building. He's probably going to be jazzed about this. If anything,
he's an arm, like, oh, you just took an arm from me? Cool.
Hell yeah. He's back into it. So that's my three-person team. I'm going with Mustang, Tamioka, and Thorkell.
Solid squad right there. Solid squad. Brennan?
Dylan.
He might win. Dylan might win.
He spits hot fire.
He does.
He spits hot fire.
Did you say, was there any restraints on the question? Because you were breaking up a little bit while you were asking it.
Nah, he said any character from any other anime, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, it's the low-hanging fruit. Like, I'll take... At first, I was thinking Goku. But I thought about it, and I was like, don't need level Goku, and Goku will be annoying to be around in real life. So I would say Piccolo, my first choice, because he's powerful enough. What's wrong with Piccolo?
Exactly, I mean, he's powerful
my
enough.
My father's powerful enough. My man stood up to Frieza. Like, Piccolo is...
he
stood up to Frieza. Like, what you mean, how did it go?
He
forced Frieza to evolve to his second or third form, whatever. But listen, either way, my point being is if you take Dragon Ball Z characters and put them in any other world, like this world, it's like he's so OP.
They're OP.
He's so OP, it doesn't matter if I have Goku or Piccolo. It's going to be the same result. And Piccolo is going to be the most level-headed out of anybody in that entire universe. It's somebody I could be around to be like, yo, here's a strategy. Piccolo, like, cool, got it, no problem. Like,
There might not be a building anymore, but, you know, he'll get the problem solved.
So my number two is from One Punch Man. What is One Punch Man's, like, apprentice's name?
Saitama?
No, his apprentice.
Oh, what? Genos?
Genos.
Genos.
The fire's going to scare him. Like, Genos brings that heat.
He does. He does.
He got a little more than Mustang, too. Like, he's going to bring the fire. It is what it is. And then the last one, I'm just going to bring Tanjiro because I think Tanjiro's amazing. And he doesn't even, at this point, he doesn't even need to do anything. He's just going to be the person that's around the house helping me out with shit because it doesn't really matter at that point because I have Piccolo and you know what I'm saying? I got Piccolo. Like, I'm good.
He's going to be kneeling next to all the parasite bodies crying, going like, this was a person. This was a person. They deserve this.
Brilliant, Rob.
That was good.
That was great.
That was great.
I'm gonna make this very simple, and I'm gonna only choose one character. I don't need three. Lord Beerus. That's it. All he got to do is go Hakai, and this shit is over. He can literally, say, "Oh, these are all the parasites. Cool, Hakai, done." He ain't got to even see these motherfuckers. He ain't got to go over there and fight them. No casualties. This shit is done. No buildings blown up. You're gonna see him just incinerate. You're gonna be like, "What's happening?" Oh, don't worry about that, man. It's not even real. He just hit them with the Thanos glove type shit, and it's over. So I'm gonna go Lord Beerus, wrap that shit up easily. Ice.
I'm going Saitama, One Punch Man, for sure, because it's fucking One Punch Man. I'm gonna go with Madara Uchiha from Naruto. Almost everybody, if you haven't seen that fight scene with him, and he gets busy with multiple people. I just need somebody that can fight multiple people at one time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm gonna get Todoroki. That'll be mine. Because Todoroki, he got both. He can either freeze your ass or he can burn your ass or he can combine. Yeah, he can either one, like how you want
you
it. He can freeze
Endeavor,
the whole fucking
bro?
Building.
Prominence burn.
No, Endeavor's a piece of. He might try to fuck the parasite.
Burn.
He might try to fuck the parasite.
What are you talking about? Why are we trying to fuck him?
No.
Why are we trying to fuck the parasite?
Huh? Because he's just a shitty dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a shitty dude.
He will put it on the line.
His mom and shit.
He will incinerate literally torch like Colonel Mustang that shit to death. But I still think.
He would burn
it. I haven't watched Naruto, so I don't know your second guy. I don't know what he does.
Me either.
But I feel like those are still solid picks.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I'm going with Todoroki no matter what. Anyways, baby, because you do out here. I wouldn't trip. So let's go to the next question. Out of the dumb shit we've seen by people in this anime with parasites,
who
did the dumbest shit? The girl from episode 9. The
this
cops.
Is too easy. This is too easy.
There's multiple situations, man. The detective. Coming in there, because here's my thing about the detective, right? The reason why I say he's the dumbest more than the girl, because she got away, one. Two, she used a paint thinner. He told her about the paint thinner and didn't even bring this shit to the scene. How are you going to sit there and give them, I don't know, there's so many different levels to this shit. Even the cops. If he's a detective, shouldn't the cops know about a paint thinner too? Why they not putting paint thinner, like dipping the bullets in paint thinner? None of that shit like that. I just don't understand what the fuck is going on. But I'm going to go with the detective as the dumbest because at least with the girl, she got away. He didn't. He's a dead motherfucker and didn't even give a good enough clue. So the detective is, he did the dumbest shit out of everybody else in this day. Ice, go ahead.
Yeah, I would have to go with him because as you said about it, he told her about it because I was going to say the lady. Both of them stupid because they had the time to not do it. At least with the couple, they was in shock and they have the most plausible reason to go check it out because they're in shock and it's like, what the fuck was that? Let's go check it out. Which is still very, very stupid. But both the detective and the girl, which the detective would be my pick, they had time. They had time. They had resources. They didn't have to act right there in the moment. They had time to come back and they chose to come back. Dolo, and he chose to come back with no type of support or no type of weapon. So yeah, he's a fucking idiot.
For me, honestly, I think the detective probably comes at number three dumbest moments because I think he's number three for me, and I think because I definitely agree it was not a great decision. I think the only defense that I can give him is that at that point, I don't think he's trying to leave that situation alive. I think this is like a suicide by cop situation almost, where he's like, I know I'm not walking away from this.
But why? He didn't have to.
I know. I agree. Dude, he's had a rough 48 hours. A very rough 48 hours. He's lost everything. So I can at least kind of give him a pass on the fact that he probably was suicidal in the first place. Mm-hmm. Number two, I got to give it to the cops. In this stretch of episodes, when Goto is like, yo, follow me to this room. I'm not going anywhere with you.
Bro.
I'm filling you full of bullets where you stand. But, I mean, the only defense I can give them is that they weren't going to fuck. It doesn't matter where they fought this dude. He was going to end them. I think I still got to give it to the girl. I still got to give it. I think she was the dumbest situation because she knew who he was and what he was capable of. Her brother is like, we know two things. They change their faces. They eat people. And she's like, damn, I better go confront him about this. At least she brought a weapon. I'll give her that. But confronting him one-on-one in a public space like that school, to me, is inexcusable. Mm-hmm. Inexcusable.
Brandon?
I 1,000% agree with Rob's list and ranking. Because your brother, like, the thing is, she has zero loyalty to this guy. Like, she doesn't even know him. You know what I'm saying? He's literally the new kid at the school. It's not like, yo, I've known him since he was a kid and suddenly his head can change shapes. It's like, no. This weird kid moved to our school. I think he's hot. Let me watch him. Oh my God. He's one of the parasites that my brother literally described to me last night. And I went home with my brother and he described it to me after I saw it. And I sat there like, that's crazy. Huh? You know what I should do? I should be alone with him and tell him I know that he eats humans and has a parasite as a head and a brain. And see if maybe he'll fuck me. Because I'm still thinking he's hot.
But she at least had the weapon to get away and take him out. So she wasn't that stupid.
This level, as
the brother. The brother didn't have a weapon.
She didn't take him out. That plate thinner did not take out Ida.
Didn't take him out, but got him to get away.
He got the ball rolling.
Honestly, she has the blood of all of her classmates on her hands.
100%.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she put that dude into like straight berserker mode, killed all of her classmates because her ass couldn't tell her brother the truth or just keep her fucking mouth shut. Like, she literally had to say, you're a parasite, for him to be like, I guess I gotta kill you, her to set him off and kill everybody, and then she jumps out a window and saves herself. And he's like, oh, who's the dumbest person? I don't know, the person who killed everyone around her for no fucking good reason. Yeah, her. She's the dumbest.
You know what's funny about this? Rob was not letting anybody else get ahead of her. Even though I was like, well, what about? He was like, nah, fuck that.
Y'all had y'all talking. I was over here the whole time doing the exact same thing Rob was doing. I was just like, not convinced.
I thought about the police. I thought about the police because that was a close second for me.
No, the police were very stupid. But
very,
because it's just because of how calm he was. He's like, there's more space over here. All these guns pointing at him, they obviously killed all of his comrades. Hey, guys. Right over here.
Y'all just shot a bunch of people, even innocent people by accident. Why not just soon as he turns his back, just go
for
it.
The sign they should have taken is when the literal murderer killer guy that's standing with them shrieks, pretty much pisses himself, and then runs away knowing there's consequences for him running. Like, he ran.
That's still better than running into this
exactly.
dude.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, did you guys not see that? And they're like, no, man, you know, you just still have another parasite to kill. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, crazy. The other one's
absolutely crazy.
Number two. They're number two.
Yeah. Well, you answered, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I actually just thought about this last night. This is just a quick little segment, and it'll probably only happen around this time of each anime that we're watching. It's called Predictions. What are your predictions for the last four episodes? We got the last four episodes coming up after this. Mm-hmm. What are your predictions of how this shit is going to end? For me, I feel like this might be one of these animes that might not be finished on in the anime, but you have to go to the comic book and probably finish it. Because I don't see how they're going to beat the guy with all five parasites. I just don't see it right now. I don't see anybody strong enough. I don't see anybody challenging him unless in these next four episodes, episode 21 or 2 or whatever, they find this magical thing that can take him out really easy. But Migi and Sinichi, they can't beat this guy. There's no beating him on a straight up fade. No fucking way. So I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be one of these ones that kind of end, but there's no true ending because they didn't get a season.
It's going to be a bloodbath. Honestly, I feel like these last four episodes are going to be maybe the first episode might
I
be
can
a,
see that.
A
personally,
set the table.
I think it probably
two,
will
maybe
wrap
two
up
episodes
in these,
setting
in
the table,
these last but couple episodes because it feels like there's just very few parasites that are like named characters left. Like you basically just got the mayor
and
you just got Goto and like that's pretty much it. Yoko's gone. Most of the other villains are gone.
Greater force that Brennan was alluding to, or not alluding to, was talking
I think
about.
Migi's going
to
end up sacrificing himself
face,
for Shinichi and Shinichi, but like the cells
control,
that are in his body are going to end up staying with him, so his heart still works, but he's probably going to lose his
Shinichi.
Arm.
I think that might be a bigger
and,
fight that he's going to have to come
if
to.
If I had
where,
to guess,
like, maybe that...
I think they're going to beat him, but I think it's not going
to
be Shinichi on his own.
To,
I think it's going
to
be some, like,
dream,
either,
bone,
you know, Home Alone type situation where they set up, like, a trap and lure this dude in somewhere.
Form
I think
or some type of form,
those,
but
that other
Shinichi
dude, the other, like, half parasite dude's going to have to get worked into this somehow. I think he's probably... Because I think this whole policing is going to go pear-shaped, and Goto's about to, like, fucking wreak havoc on the city. And they're going to have to, like... Get everybody together. Let's pool our resources and try to take this dude out. And I think eventually it will cost Migi his life.
Brennan?
I agree with Rob in the sense of I think there's a possibility that Migi dies. I'm almost 100% positive that new captain of the police guy, who was just like, I could tell the guys apart, he's dead. Like, he has to die. There's no way this man doesn't die. But I also think he's going to play a critical role in that Home Alone scenario that Rob gave is that, you know, I think he's gonna be the one who sacrifices himself in the last moment to kill the final parasite that ends up being the problem while he has a change of heart. Is that these things aren't things to be extinct because a parasite saves his life or some shit. You know, so I think it's probably gonna end on like one of those kind of notes where it's just like, maybe we can live together. Da-da-da, like some shit like
I
think it's probably gonna end like that. And you know, I could definitely see Migi, I could see Migi going either way with Migi sacrificing himself or not. I'd say it'd be more likely that if any sacrificing of themselves happened between our main protagonists, it's going to be both of them. I would say that if they're going to do that in the show, if the show actually ends, then I think it ends with both of them dying, but they're doing it to save humanity and show humanity that like we're not all bad. That's why I'm sacrificing myself right now to finally kill the thing that is the real threat to humanity. And show other, you know, like, yo, we don't have to eat humans. We don't have to do whatever. What's done has been done. Let's all move forward amicably. And, you know, the other thing we can't forget to mention is that there's also the entire reason why these parasites are here in the first place. They touched on it in the beginning of the whole entire show, and they haven't talked about it really since. But I think there is some kind of greater something that might get brought back at the end. And I don't know what that's going to look like or what it's going to be. Or maybe all the parasites get pulled up to their thing after they're just there to learn about the human species or whatever. I don't know. But I think that there's going to be some kind of circling effect of saying like, we're all here because of this. And now everyone's aware of it. And now because we're all aware of it, Migi and, you know, our protagonists make their sacrifice. And now it's like, okay, cool. Humans and these parasites have found a way to coexist. It actually is productive for both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You've been doing this for how long? And now you forgot. The fuck out of here. 5 minutes? That's a long ass time. That's a long ass time, bro. That is. That's a fourth of the show. That's a fourth of it.
I can see that.
That's a fourth of the show, bro.
Oh, that's it for the question portion. This
isn't the first time.
We loved about the anime. We'll be hated about the anime.
This is not the first time you did it either. You always do that shit.
Our score, of course. So... go ahead. Let's start off with you, Brennan.
These four episodes for me were kind of par for how the episodes have been going. I enjoyed them. I actually was a little upset that I had to stop at episode 20 because I'm just like, I just want to know what happens now. Like the final boss has been revealed and he just fucked up the cannon fodder that shows you his power and how powerful he was, and we're about to see what's going in and you can't watch it. So I was all in that moment. I'm just like, all right, let's see. Let's go. Like, I hope Miggy doesn't have to fight him, but that's probably what's gonna have to end up happening. I enjoyed it. I think that there was some really, I think the stupid decision making actually makes the show funny to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty, I actually enjoy it because of how funny. It's just like, really? This is what we're doing? and I thought the death of, what's her name? The one with the baby. I thought that was actually really well done. That episode I really liked for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Mostly because it just really showed a lot of different sides to the story and different perspectives that could be expected. And presented a lot of really interesting situations that really pushed the whole entire plot forward. I thought that was the best episode out of all of them that we saw. So I think last week I gave it like a 6,200. I'm going to go back up and say I'm going to call this 6,800 because I said I enjoyed it and I want to see more.
So you don't have a worse?
Oh, best worse. Best moment was, like I said, the mom dying thing. Mm-hmm. The worst moment was the police following the guy. No, let me think. That was the dumbest moment.
If you don't have one, it's fine.
I'm trying to think that.
Yeah, you don't have to have one, yeah.
No, I don't have a worst moment. I don't have one.
Okay. I go next. My favorite moment was Ryoko pretty much like beating those other parasites. Like the way she did it, taking part of her running away. When that one is pretty much torching it. That one dude coming back talking shit. Oh, you think you're going to be good? Because you only a little bit of you left. And then came back to the scene and got his ass ate up real quick. I honestly, that was probably my favorite and worst part, and not because it's like bad, because I wanted her to be at the end, I guess, mm-hmm. and probably get killed at the end. But now I feel like I don't know who's gonna help out Shinichi and Miggy in this situation. I really don't know. Like, I feel like she was the only person that had probably the skill set. If they double team the last boss, they can probably beat this guy. I did enjoy these four episodes. It wasn't no dead spots in there to me. Really.
It was good. It wasn't
boring. I was like, you actually started watching a little bit of episode
two. Oh, this motherfucker. You can't help yourself.
They did a better job.
It ran into, I forgot I was watching. I forgot my four were done, to be honest.
Like, I was watching, sitting at the table, which is really good. I feel like
I was looking down, and then it was like next episode, next five minutes,
especially because I didn't get the opportunity to watch the first 5 minutes of the next episode.
No,
like
it's
some
not.
People
no,
did.
It's not genius. The first two minutes are a recap, and then the other minute and a half is the intro.
Who are you talking about? So I don't trust anything you say.
All right, I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you, Ice. Anyways,
so this right here is my score. These four were pretty good. They showed all of the moves.
When they talk about the moves, they show all of the moves. They show them. They say these are my five. This show might be a winner. And I think they can only fuck up the last four. So, Rob?
I echo a lot of what you guys are saying.
You need to read the manga. How can you love being this way?
I enjoyed these episodes. I do have some,
but you do.
Some
you
things
have,
I'm feeling a little on. I feel like they don't really know what to do with Shinichi and Miggy right now. I felt like these episodes, they were really
that
in the background.
You are a sick
like,
individual.
Most of these episodes were about Ryoko or the police.
As much as you love
and,
being
or that, that new like
stopping.
Serial killer
I'm
dude in the
to,
parasites.
To,
like
to,
Shinichi and Miggy, I thought, were really
look,
around for these.
In,
and I thought that was a little disappointing.
That.
Like, especially because before this, we've been kind
of
having the same conflict between them like for what feels like a long time. So that being said, I did like what the stories that were going on with the police and the detective and, Ryoko. Like, I agree with what Brennan said. Like, those are dumb decisions, but they make the story interesting.
But yeah.
And I really thought the stuff with Ryoko, I know we kind of called that she'd probably come around with their baby. And she did, but I thought they did it in an interesting way.
And Demon Slayer is
done,
bro.
The stuff with raiding City Hall, like, I was like, oh, shit, like, they're getting right to this. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen next. So that's pretty exciting. Like, because I felt like for a long time they've been struggling to hit the same highs that they hit in like that second stretch of four episodes where we dealt with Shinichi's mom. Like, to me, that's still been the peak of where the show was.
You a black man. Come on, bro. You
so
got 6 years.
That being said, my favorite moment was the raid on the city hall. Like, just kind of seeing how that they, you know, that chess match between the police and the parasites, and like, how can we like get away without tipping our hand, and how can we get them in without tipping our hand?
So you never,
was really interesting to watch.
MHA,
my least favorite was also tied into that, and it's got to be when those police officers walked into that room with him. Like, that, no reason for that. Just shoot him and or die in the hallway.
As
like
an anime lover,
you can't explain the logic to me in a way that I think makes sense. But so that being said, a better stretch of episodes, and I think it's been going back up since the Kana stretch. So I'll give it a 6,500.
And just to add real quick, these stretches were good too, because actually with her, with that situation with Ryoko,
right.
She showed a
human
emotion,
know it's
so
out?
Does Shinichi again.
It's readily available.
In a while.
And you know it's
he,
out there.
He broke
and
down and cried,
wait,
so that was good to
make
see.
Make the conscious decision
to wait.
And
they actually brought that back around.
Fuck that.
Yep.
You are... I'm going as a whole, and as hard in the pain as he went, because he loved to tell people he put people on, but you're not gonna take that next step. So obviously not, because I know more about Demon Slayer than you do. So I mean
it didn't show much. Yeah, like it spoiled the next four.
I don't even know how Trump has to do with this, because Trump doesn't know more than anybody.
I know you're not talking. You put stuff in that group chat.
I was so mad at you. I was
like,
so
what
mad
are you talking
at
about? Like,
he did you see no. what he did? Can't Rob, did you see that?
No, I
didn't know that. I never saw him.
But
where
I'm just saying,
him?
As hard as you, it does. If you say as hard as you went for it and you putting people on, but you like, no,
I
I'm
never
not
saw
gonna
that.
Do
that.
It's like teaching somebody
ever.
How to basketball,
never
play
saw.
Basketball. You just like,
Rob, did you,
no,
have you
I'm
ever
not
seen him
try
before?
To put, And then I'm not going to play in high school. I'm not going to play in college. The opportunity is there, and I showed you how to play, but I'm not going to fucking play.
I don't
like,
read
stupid.
Manga.
That's
what
stupid.
It is. I don't do it.
That's
like,
stupid.
What else you want to say about
it? No, not if it...
I stopped.
But stuff
I stopped like
that,
12 pages in. I was like, I'm not doing this.
And what?
The campaign.
I would think it'd be... I think it's the exact opposite with Brennan. He'll probably tell them they fucking suck and motivate them through that.
If he does
that,
I would have to.
As far as motivational skills, come on. See, Rob, he wouldn't motivate nobody.
And I'm cool with it. I understand it.
Positivity standpoint.
He is over here like, but I'm cool with it. You can send it to me.
Yeah, because I'm done already.
He's current.
Yeah, I'm finished.
I'm not. He's not leading.
Yep, I'm away.
Leading a company.
Patient man. Hopefully, the world lasts out.
Leading.
How shit's going right now? Shit.
Fuck.
But you're not motivated.
Britta's
going to
speed read. As soon as they say, yo, the world's ending in 6 hours, Britta's going to speed read
119
chapters.
Being good at speaking and motivating somebody.
Skip right to the end.
You can be a phenomenal speaker. That doesn't mean you're motivating somebody. You can be.
No, I didn't. I bought it and started reading it, and I was just like,
But I'm not a fool. So you're telling me. So
anime.
You're telling me just because
anime.
You're a good speaker
anime.
That means you're motivating somebody?
I get
that,
it. I get
okay,
I get
so
Brennan being
saying,
like, I get some people being like,
all right,
I want to enjoy
all the
this piece by piece
that you've had with
in that
me,
sense.
And
I get people
people
being like, this is so good, I
got to
see what happens, because I can't wait 6 years.
That, like,
I was one of those people. I couldn't wait. I was like, this shit is not going to finish. Yeah.
But you're not motivating.
But I get Brennan's point too. He's like at the end of the day, since he doesn't read, it's not like he reads manga on a consistent basis to where it's like he needs
even,
to
what
have.
What you mean
it.
I ain't
so,
got shit? Don't
I mean,
make
I get
sense.
That. If he was a manga reader and decided not to read
don't
this one, I'd be like, what are you doing? You're a jackass. But he doesn't read it like that, so I'm not going to be on it. I'm not going to.
What? That don't even make sense. Because, no, you're saying, just because I'm saying that you... That's fine. And I'm saying that you saying that you motivate somebody, I never disagree with that. I'm saying you would motivate somebody from a space of calling them out. I'm saying that you wouldn't motivate somebody from a space of, hey, you guys are doing great. You can do it. You don't motivate from that space. You motivate people by saying,
"You know what you're talking about, but you didn't." I was just like, "I put you on this, but I know more about it because I read the manga." It's like, but that doesn't change how you got put on it. Like, it doesn't. It has literally nothing to do with what I said.
It doesn't.
Literally nothing to do with what I said. And they're better than me. That's fine. That happens.
And I'm telling you that I've seen the other side too. So like, you can't invalidate my statement if I'm giving you facts on winning time. Good. I'm saying that he is known for prides himself on trash talking people.
I think Brennan has
Brennan would know how to motivate and put things inside you and give people shit. The first interaction with you is usually you talking shit about somebody. So if you pride yourself on that, you motivating people, are you talking shit from
the game winner?
You're talking bad about people from that state. Like, you can motivate people and be a great speaker, but you don't have to be in a positive light. That's all I was saying. You don't come from a positive space.
I have a YouTube channel that has 20-something thousand subscribers. I'm motherfuckers to buy drones and like use them because I'm excited about it.
That doesn't mean I'm wrong either.
The most interesting thing to me is that every time we get into debate in the back of my mind, setting, every single time, all I hear is Jay-Z saying in my back of my head. You know, it's like, why
because
that's
what the reference was initially. Because
people from a distance can't see who is who.
He said he can coach.
They can't tell. I'm not saying. I didn't say that.
You're not going to do that with fucking... You have to in that situation. Like, they're chronically ill. Like, you're not...
All right, here. How about this? Let's just put it to a vote. Keenan, do you think I'm a motivated person when I want to be?
Yes.
Rob, do you think I'm a motivated person when I want to be?
Shut
up. Rob, do you think I'm a motivated person when I want
to
be? Okay, so shut the fuck up. There it is. You've been outvoted. Nothing else to say. Ice, I just don't motivate you because you ain't got shit. There you go. I'm doing the ice argument right now. I'm being you. How does it feel? I just say shit out loud and I just like, I say it with confidence and it doesn't make sense. And you're just like, what are you talking about? Exactly. I got 5 minutes, y'all. Just so y'all know, I got 5 minutes.
Okay. Ice got McGowan.
Kids?
Nah.
I can't agree.
What Rob and I are trying to tell you is that he does, and we have been. And there's been, Brennan's given me books. Brennan has sat me down, and he has. And Brennan probably could have hit me with the whatever in a negative way to flip it and make it work for me, but he didn't. He told me a different way. I've seen him tell the other people. So I'm telling you that I've seen him do it. So that's why I can't agree with. Well, yeah, I see the other side. No. You're saying that he doesn't. You're saying that he doesn't, though, any other way.
He said. Why are we talking about me? Well, I don't want to talk about me anymore.
No, that's not what you were saying. You were saying you don't motivate people. You switched your point like 10 times.
He's pivoting on that base, boy. He's like, he got his
triple threat
in there, baby. He's just like,
triple threat. Just.
Three minutes.
You did say that.
3 minutes.
Man. We just said he can because we've seen it. Awesome. So maybe because you haven't seen it, that's fine. That's fine if you haven't seen it, but that doesn't mean you're right if we have seen it. So we've seen it. I've seen, but we didn't say that you're necessarily wrong. We've seen both ways. You haven't. So that's what we were saying. You're saying that no, he doesn't and he can't. Now in a basketball setting.
So for the record, I did coach basketball with chronically ill kids at a program called Coach Art. And I did motivate from a place of positivity. But what you're saying is that I can't, is what I'm saying. It's like, obviously I can. I did it.
You keep moving the base. That's what we're trying to say, Ice.
Hey, y'all. But you know what's dope?
All right.
Y'all can find me. Y'all can find me.
Hold on. Wait. I don't think Ice gave a score yet. Did he give a score? 7,000? All right. Go ahead. Drop your stuff up.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram and Venmo at Mr. Producer Face.
You got any more bread, Brennan? Have you been getting some more money?
No, I've got literally nothing. I feel the love, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, me neither, man. I put my Venmo out last time. I didn't get shit, man. Go ahead, Rob.
At RV Danger on Instagram. Find me there.
Ice. Keenan Baker on everything. Keenan Baker on Venmo and Cash App on those things, too. Answer, and also, too, in the comment section, y'all, answer the questions that we asked in this one. We want to see what you guys had to say with the questions that we asked. We want to have some fun. We will respond back to you in the comment section. Also, I think that's pretty much it. Oh, yeah. Let us know your score for these four and let us know how you're feeling in the series right now and your prediction of what's going to happen in the last four episodes. Yeah, we thank y'all every week for tuning in to another episode of Animation.
Peace.
And so anime was solved forever.